Okay, money and markets. U.S. dollar now down 2.5% by the year. It's tiny bit, tad under the 100 line, but it's still hugging the 100 line. So I don't see a big change yet. Fixed income has come back much stronger. It just shows you when people get nervous. So the long treasury ETF is up 4.35%, the intermediate up 2.4%. Corporate bond aggregate up by 1.78%, and the high yield bond ETF up 2.67%. So long treasury outperforming the high yield bonds. Equities, the S&P now up almost 6% for the year. The home builders flying at 10.83%. We're seeing significant inflation on home prices around the country. I'm hearing it from all areas. The Vanguard Europe ETF up 8%, so outperforming the S&P. Germany up 7%, again outperforming the S&P. The developed markets minus North America up 7.28%. China large caps up 9.71%. China small caps up 11.58%. Everybody keeps predicting the demise and end of China, and it just keeps coming along stronger. And the emerging markets back, probably because the dollar traded off a little bit at up 12.23% for the year. And then commodities weak, the commodities index down almost 5%. Gold and silver holding their own, gold up 11.27%, the silver ETF up 12.91%, and oil down 13.43%, just keeps staying in the doghouse. The first round of voting in the French elections is this Sunday. Now, this is just the first round. There's going to be another round with the runner-off from the two who emerge. There's a real wrench that's gotten thrown in the mix. This was expected to be Le Pen versus Macron, but Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who is described as, it looks to me a little bit like the Bernie Sanders of France. But comes from the progressive side, is just shooting up tremendously in the polls. And it's going to be very funny because Macron is the moderate candidate and that the establishment could live with. So if they end up with Mélenchon and Le Pen, it's going to be amazing. If you look at all the dirty tricks that have been thrown at Le Pen's sort of way, it looks like somebody's trying to get rid of her. And whoever that somebody is, they got a lot of tricks up their sleeve. So it looks quite a fight because this is not just about who's going to govern France. It's about the future of the European Union and the euro. So this is quite an experience. I put up a checklist. I've been working with a variety of different situations and families and people. Finally decided I needed sort of a framework of risk to help discuss risk issues, because there's so many different risk issues coming at families today, and there's so many different possible scenarios. It's really how do you organize it and think about it in a very coherent, organized fashion. So I thought it would help me to put together a checklist, and I'll be talking a little bit about it in our equity overview this evening. One of the things, and I've put links to different interviews up, but I wanted to comment on a series of different interviews, because there's a theme that you see. First was the Jamie Dimon interview I put up a couple weeks in connection with his annual report, his annual letter with their J.P. Morgan Chase annual report. Jamie Dimon being the chairman of J.P. Morgan Chase. And then an interview Hillary Clinton did on why she lost the election, and then a videotaping of the head of Uber by a driver who challenged him on their policies towards a driver. Now, what you see in each one of these, Jamie Dimon is sitting there. Basically, what he said, first he wrote a letter. He said, "Something's wrong with America," but of course, there's no connection to J.P. Morgan Chase's and Jamie Dimon's responsibility for what's wrong in America. It's amazing. And it's almost you kind of feel like this is a guy who has a memory wipe every hour. He just One person said to me, it's like watching somebody who's organized by artificial intelligence and has no mind. So in the interview, he's talking enthusiastically about how JPMorgan Chase wants to treat their customers like you would want your mother to be treated. Well, if you look at the history, if you've listened to our interview with Helen Chapman or looked at her website of all the fines for criminal activity by JPMorgan Chase that's defrauded and harmed millions of people, it's just amazing. I mean, the extent of the hubris. And I'm telling you, the guy looks like he's had a memory wipe. But again, I think he's trying to pitch the young people. He's trying to pitch the millennials. And, you know, he's being cool these days. He's wearing jeans. And it's just endless. So then Hillary Clinton does an interview where she talks about why she lost the election. And not one item cited has anything to do with her decisions, her behavior, or anything about her. You just can't believe it. It's unbelievable. And then Uber, which is the most valuable private company in the country, or was, is literally falling apart. And one of the reasons is absolutely dreadful management. I put up a link to a wonderful article by an engineer who describes her experience working at Uber. And it, you know, you can really see what's going on. But anyway, it's a videotape that shows the Uber CEO getting a ride in an Uber car and then asking the driver, you know, his opinion, and the driver proceeds to tell him that he spent $97,000 on a car before, or investing in the operation before they changed the policies and it wiped him out and bankrupted him. And the CEO just goes ballistic and runs away out of the car because, you see, he's incapable of accepting responsibility, let alone taking enough responsibility for the ecosystem and listening to his constituencies to figure out how to proceed. So, you know, he's willing to bully his way to the top, but he's not willing to do the hard work of really making a business go. It's quite remarkable to watch. What you're seeing are different variations of people who are incapable of taking responsibility and literally incapable of remembering what they did yesterday. You know, but they're very capable of trying to be extremely fashionable and appealing to the, you know, to the groups they're pitching. And you look at it, and it's almost like reality TV. It's like they're in a reality TV show, and they don't understand it's real. It's kind of scary. And the reason I bring it up, and I'll talk about it when I talk about the family risks in the equity overview, one of the things I'm really concerned about is with the very brief effort by Trump to start to bring accountability to Washington, and then to watch the complete inability of Washington or the neocon machinery to change or listen. What we're seeing, and it's not just in Washington, it's in the whole country. What we're seeing is an entire society that can't face reality and has an entire mind control machinery designed to keep it from seeing reality. And if you look at what's coming towards us in terms of changes in state budgets and in federal budgets, and then you layer on the 5G and some of the other, you know, sort of covert things going on, you're talking about a situation where, particularly in dense areas of the country, you know, we're really talking about significant parts of our society going mad together. And when you watch Diamond Clinton and the Uber CEO, you realize, you know, these people are not grounded in reality. And if we get into serious trouble here, how in the world are they going to lead anything? They're not. And it's a, you know, it's a problem a little bit you're seeing with Trump, because one of the ways he's getting played is, you know, this is a man who's got a lot of ambition, but as Peggy Noonan says, he's a little bit short on character here, and that's certainly what we're seeing between how he's handling Flynn and Bannon and some of these other situations. And that's not good, because everybody's going to get the idea. The problem with leaders like that, if they're incapable of taking responsibility, it's very hard to follow them. That's why, you know, if you look at some of the people at the in the Clinton administration who really do have the capacity to take responsibility and lead, I think Tillerson is one of them. You're going to see over time more and more flow going to them and through them because people will tend to organize around them. So who can stay a Titanic Turner under pressure? That's the question.